From Islamic Finance News, the world's leading Islamic finance news provider, this is IFN Podcast.
Islamic fintech may be a sector that is gaining prominence, but not all verticals are the same. Islamic insurtech space in particular has seen little activity compared with the likes of P2P and crowdfunding, alternative finance, and digital banking. So why is that? To answer that, today I'm with Shazi Norazman, CEO of Ouch, the first digital takaful operator in Bank Negara Malaysia's regulatory sandbox. Shazi, thank you so much for being with us here today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Firstly, can I get you to paint us a picture of the insurtech landscape in Malaysia and then, of course, bring in the takaful factor into it?
Sure. So, insurtech scene in Malaysia is fairly new, I would say. So, you don't see a lot of big innovations. I think the insurance industry or takaful industry as a whole hasn't changed much over the decades, right? So, we're starting to see a little bit more innovation coming up over the past few years with the likes of Lemonade making big news in the States. But in Malaysia specifically, you know, we had aggregators. You know, we were starting to see small fintech players coming up with tools for that assist with insurance distribution or insurance claims or insurance underwriting, and takaful as well, of course. But, you know, it's still fairly new, I would say. So evidently, you know, Bank Negara has started a sandbox for the young startups players to try to explore new ways of innovation in the space, right? Yeah.
So I know you say that it's still relatively small here in Malaysia, but actually if you look globally, I mean, compared to like banking or any of the alternative finance fintech technologies that we have, insurance technology is also relatively small, no?
Still, it's true. Very, very small still. And I think this is it's something that I guess they didn't want to rock the boat too much, right? They were already doing really, really well with the business that they already had. You know, looking at Malaysia, for example, you know, a lot of the products are focused towards the T20, right? And they kind of just focus on, you know, continuing to serve this specific demographic. So, yeah, so I think that there's no need for them to innovate as much because they were happy in their ways, I would say.
Right, right. But now, obviously, with the rise of players like yourself, there is some sort of a disruption, right? This is a favorite word, right? So, but we are also seeing incumbent insurers also kind of upping their digitalization game, right? So how would, you know, a digital insurer or takaful operator compete?
Yeah. So I think the incumbents have a lot of things that they have to deal with, I would say. I can't speak for them personally, but, you know, they, from the outside, you can see, you know, there's the agency force that they have to take care of. They have legacy systems, you know, they're set in their ways, I would say. So for them to kind of rethink and kind of approach it from a brand new perspective, I think it's very tough for them, right? So for someone like us, you know, as a startup, a small company, we're very lean, we can do things very quickly, right? So any space, any room we feel we can innovate, we can test out new ideas, test out new products quickly.
And get some more agile.
That's right, that's right.
And for a startup like yourself, what kind of challenges do you face?
Well, of course, I think brand. You know, we're a new brand to the market. Not many people are aware about us. So we do have to spend quite a bit on getting brand awareness out there. Aside from that, it's really, just I think building that trust with our customers, right? We need to tell them that, you know, we're here, we're actually here to protect you. You can trust in us, put your faith in us, and, you know, when the time comes of need, we're there to provide you that financial assistance, right?
And in you engaging the Malaysian public, what sort of response are you seeing? I mean, let's face it, me, right? I work in financial journalism, so I do cover finance, I cover insurance, and even so, every time my insurance agents want to come and see me, I get a bit fearful because there's always, I feel there's this distrust. You talk a lot about trust, right? So there's this distrust that there's all these like little terms and conditions that I won't know, and
that's
after
right.
I buy the policy, I want to make a claim, I'm unable to claim, things like that, right? These are common misconceptions or conceptions by the public. So is that something that you guys also face? And also, from a digital perspective, do you think Malaysians are are actually ready to embrace such, you know, innovation?
Sure. I'll start with the first thing on a product level, right? So we were quite aware that people were a bit, not say distrust, but they kind of get confused with the product offerings that are being pushed by the agents, right? Whether or not the agenda is actually good or bad, we're not really sure most of the times. The products are very complex. They're very hard to understand. So that's how we looked at it. We saw this is the industry today. How can we change that, right? So at Ouch, for example, with Pusara Pro, the product's very straightforward, right? It's super easy. It only affects you when a death happens, right? And then your beneficiaries will get the funds. So we made it very, very clear cut. You know, there's no additional terms or anything like that. You know, it's very straightforward, right? And then we'll build up upon this over time, making it very simple to understand. And you build up that risk profile for yourself and the coverage that you need for yourself. So it kind of puts the control back to the customer, where today, traditionally, because, again, products are so complex, maybe intentionally so, that it requires another person to kind of sell the product. Right, the whole axiom of, you know, insurance is sold, not bought. But, you know, if you look at how it started back then, it was actually bought, right? It was something that was very easy to understand. Look, we're coming together to protect each other's risk, right? So we put a fund, and then over the years, if anything happens, we take out from this pool and protect ourselves. So we kind of brought it back to the simple idea of what the core values of Takaful is, and then try to push that and then try to educate the market in that way, right? So there is still a gap of educational financial literacy in Malaysia that we still have to overcome. So we have to kind of talk to the community leaders, kind of build out that community, get the word of mouth that way, right? That's our approach with that. What was the second question again? Sorry.
So the second question was whether or not you think Malaysians are ready to embrace.
All right.
Yep.
I think we're Malaysia is quite lucky, I guess. You know, we have 90% mobile penetration rate, 96% internet penetration rate. You know, really, really high numbers for a small country, I would say. So I think the next generation, you know, Gen Y, Gen Z, those guys are more receptive to these kinds of things, right? They want to take control over their finances and their financial well-being. So I think we're still early days. You know, we're kind of introducing the brand, but you know, we can see this in, you know, down the line, to be a brand for this generation, and then they'll follow us along the way.
I also want to understand, I suppose, your business strategy, because when Ouch emerged or was established, you guys were actually playing in the conventional space, and you guys slowly decided to enter the Takaful space.
Right. So in the early days, we became more of an aggregator of sorts. You know, we were trying to provide value by just being an intermediary, right? So we get products from our partners, put it on our platform, and then try to take care of our customers. But we found that integration, you know, was a bit disjointed. You know, it wasn't very seamless. And there was kind of no loyalty from our customers, right? Because there's so many aggregators around, you know, they can just jump from one to another. So that strategy didn't really work out for us as much. And we identified, you know, we have to take control of the product, right? So that we can, you know, change the product over time based on the customer's needs. We can push the right products to the customers at the right time, right? So that was our approach.
And to specifically target the Takaful market, is that something
target towards the underserved, right? So the B40s, the M40s, or the MB40s, somewhere around the middle grounds. So really want to address this market specifically. And this market, you know, resonate with Takaful really, really much, really well. And yeah, the growth of Takaful is evident. You know, it's growing bigger than conventional insurance year on year. We have about 20% market share today, Takaful. And we expect to grow that, you know, 20% year on year moving forward.
And what do you think about the regulatory landscape here in Malaysia? Because of course, Bank Negara is in the process of drafting the DITO framework.
That's right.
Right. And you guys do have intentions to secure a license.
Yes.
So what do you think of the ecosystem that we have?
So I think it's very, very supportive. I think Bank Negara is very, very supportive for the idea, and they recognize the need to have a digital player coming in. You know, the DITO paper outlines three main things, essentially inclusion, efficiency and competition, right? So we really address all these factors. And the main reason here is to close the protection gap, right? And provide protection for the underserved, right? So we're really aligned with the goals of the bank, and the bank is really supportive in, you know, trying to push out new innovative ideas. So our model, for example, is different from what the traditional Takaful players are doing, right? Traditionally, wakala fee is something that it's a variable year on year, depending on how the fund performs. But for us, we charge a fixed wakala fee of 20%. Right, and how we achieve this essentially is that, you know, by utilizing technology, right? So everything is digital in the company. So from underwriting, claims, processing, policy management, the whole works all digitally done. So that can reduce the cost, and this cost then gets saved from the customer's point of view as well. So this is effectively, you know, we're looking at 20% cheaper on average compared to other products in the market. Right. So now we address the price point. Now it's about making sure that the participants of Pusara Pro get the service that they need, right? So that's through our app and through our platform, right? So they can purchase, they can manage their policies, they can make the claims, and also we can engage with our participants as well to find out what they want, and we build products towards our participants' needs. So we kind of grow with our participants, right? And I think that's our approach to this.
In terms of product development, I'm curious to know, I'm pretty sure it's going to be challenging, I suppose. Like, what kind of issues do you face in engineering the right products?
So I think this is something that, you know, we have to take, you know, from whatever information we have from the past, you know, working with our partners. So Enactuarial is our partner, actuary partner. We work with Swiss Re with Takaful as well. And they kind of, you know, we work together to kind of identify, you know, what would be a good product fit, right? So in the early days, you know, we just acknowledge ourselves. We go like, you know, our first product to the market has to be a term life Takaful product, because I think that's the basis of everything, right? Take care of yourself first. Make sure your family's taken care of if anything happens to you. And then we look down the line in terms of what kind of other products we can introduce into the market.
And so what else is in your pipeline?
No, we're looking at straightforward products. So we are considering a few products in our pipeline. Won't divulge too much into it, but yeah, I'll give you a few examples. You know, we don't think that critical illnesses, for example, you need to cover 36 critical illnesses. Let's focus on the two that are important in Malaysia, diabetes and hypertension, for example. Right? And then just cover that and be more inclusive. So we maybe look into including more people into the pool. Right. Then we look at, you know, simple products. There's a lot of medical products out there. You know, it's very focused on inpatient. Let's look at smaller products for maybe outpatient instead. So this bite-sized products, that's something that, you know, won't break the bank, something that the M40s, the B40s can afford to give them the protection they need.
Do you anticipate more startups or more players within this space, the Islamic insurtech space?
I'm sure. I think there's a lot of interest in, especially in the Takaful space in Malaysia, because they're seeing the growth, right? They're seeing the opportunity there. So I think definitely there'll be a lot of players coming in. You know, I think we do have a slight head start, I would say, in terms of getting our product into the market. But, you know, there will be competition down the line. We just have to be able to embrace that and continue to innovate and iterate our product and offering.
And I know this is possibly a bit super early or too early to ask. Like, are you guys only focusing on the Malaysian market? Are there any intentions at all to expand?
I think currently the focus is Malaysia. Our focus is for Malaysians. If any other opportunities to cross borders comes up, we will consider it. But I think our focus right now is still Malaysia, because I think that there's enough issues here that we need to resolve, right? And there's enough people here to take care of as well. So I think our approach is really, let's look at Malaysia first. Let's solve this problem first, right? Because once you go into a different market, there's different problems, different sets of regulations, different things you have to address. And that's going to take a lot of time from the company, and then the growth will be stunted, right? So our approach is really, let's look at Malaysia, let's solve this problem first before we start looking at other problems.
Yeah, absolutely. So just before I wrap up, I want to very quickly circle back to what you mentioned about your pipeline, right? And the few products that you are working on. Is that something that we can anticipate within the next, say, like 12 months this year, next year?
So we're heavily regulated by Benega, you know, so they're watching everything that we do. So every time we come up with a product, we have to go through them as well, get their approval before we can launch it to the market. So I wouldn't say, I think in the foreseeable future, we are considering it. We don't know how long that will take. We hope to come up with maybe a new product by next year, if all goes to plan.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Azi, for being with us here today.
No worries. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank
Thank you for listening. For more discussions on the Islamic finance industry, log on to www.islamicfinancenews.com. You can also listen to IFN Podcast on your favorite platforms, including iTunes and Spotify.